You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Every year here in the United States, more than 3,500 babies die from sleep-related causes. This is according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, while sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, is the cause of death for some of these babies, a lot of babies continue to die accidentally from suffocation or strangulation because of things like loose bedding or clothing or soft pillows or being placed on their side or their stomach, as well as bed sharing. And in 2014, here in Idaho, 5 babies had accidental deaths related to sleep environments. 21 babies died unexplainably from SIDS. So because of these deaths, and they can be prevented, at least the accidental ones, healthcare providers in Idaho are implementing new programs to make sure babies stay safe when they sleep. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Sherry Iverson. She is St. Luke's Children's Hospital Director of Advocacy and Community Education. Welcome to the program, Sherry.
Thank you.
This is kind of surprising that in this day and age, we are seeing these preventable accidents. And the CDC researchers recently found, apparently, that unsafe sleep practices still happen.
They do.
And it's common.
It's very common. And I think there's many kind of factors. One, we've talked about that when you look at a beautiful nursery, it's got a bed that's a crib that's got bumpers and darling little animals in it and pillows. And that's what we think a bed should look like. And so as healthcare providers, when we say absolutely nothing in the crib except a sheet, they look at us like we're just mean. We have this idea we want to put babies in blankets and snuggle them in and put little stuffed toys all around them. So it's part of just our instinct, and it seems really kind of lonely and cruel to put them in an empty bed.
And counterintuitive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I will never forget when I was told this with my oldest, and it was like the bumper came out.
Right.
Everything came, and I remember being like, oh, but is it that idea of safety first and reiterating that message?
It's safety first, and it's also sometimes we have to think about our own beds. I don't know about your bed, but our bed is deep, thick mattresses, mm-hmm. and we've got foam pillows, you've got all of this bedding, and we really feel like, oh, we'll just put them in our bed for a short period of time. All of that bedding, all of those blankets are really dangerous for infants, and so we also have to remember, not is it only their bed, but where are we placing them to sleep in a nap? A sofa is not a safe place. In a recliner chair with you when you fall asleep, and they can fall down and get trapped. So it's just safety first every single time we put that baby down to sleep.
And I think that probably almost every new parent is guilty of some type of like bed sharing, whether it is falling asleep on the couch, because you are exhausted.
You are exhausted.
But is it that education of just, you know, put the baby in the crib?
It is. And we try to start that right in the nursery. So when moms are newly delivered and they're just so tired, we really try to say, put the baby right in the bassinet next to you. And when you get drowsy, put them down. And if you just start to articulate that and make sure as a family that everybody thinks the same thing, when you're drowsy, they're safest when they're not in your arms.
And so what St. Luke's is doing, tell me about this new program, because you're actually providing portable cribs now.
We are.
Families in need.
Right. So we're asking at the time of discharge, do you have a safe place for your baby to sleep? And we're learning that for some families where there is a financial concern, you can't go out and buy a crib. So their idea is they're going to sleep with their 2-year-old sister. Not a safe environment. We're going to put them in between us and put pillows. We think that'll be safe. You know, even the old-fashioned in a box is safer than any of those options. So we have a port-a-crib and a zip-up sleep sack, which we know we want instead of loose blankets, a couple of sheets that are fitted so that they're tight in the port-a-crib. And the nice part about a port-a-crib, they can go to grandma's house, they can go to a hotel room, and so there really is that safe sleep mm-hmm. environment.
But this also crosses economic boundaries because we are all tired as new parents. So it is still, Sherry, that idea of even if you have a beautiful crib and a beautiful nursery.
Right.
Still take everything out.
Take everything out. We want a fitted mattress close to the edges. We want it down as low as possible and one fitted sheet.
On
their back. And put your baby in a zip sleep sack. And that way, if they do roll, you don't have any kind of entrapment of blankets. And we know that, yes, babies do start to roll over, but when you put them down to sleep, it's on their back. It's also recommended to, after you've established breastfeeding, to give them a pacifier. And they'll drop it out, but it seems to regulate their heart rate and their breathing as they start to fall asleep.
I'm speaking with Sherry Iverson. She is St. Luke's Children's Hospital Director of Advocacy and Communication and Education. Okay, I want to shift gears a little bit because there's been a lot of talk about these recent safety guidelines from the National Highway Safety Administration regarding car seat and,
right.
and safety restraints. So we know now the new recommendation is you keep that kiddo turned backwards for as long as possible.
Right, rear facing as long as possible. And if you look at any of the videos that shows the dynamics of little ones and how different they handle an impact in a wreck when they are facing backwards, they're going to handle that crash and really cushioned in that car seat so much different than when they rely on all of their trunk and neck muscles if they're forward facing. And even 2 and 3 year olds, their heads are still bigger, their necks are not as strong. And so people worried about, well, what if you break a leg? Well, there hasn't been research that's going to happen. Their little legs are flexible. They're kicking all over. But it's much safer for their neck and their spine. And that's what we really want to protect.
I had a health official tell me one time it's easier to fix a broken leg than a broken neck.
Absolutely.
And then here's one that I will be honest about this. I am struggling with right now is this new recommendation that kids should stay in the back seat until the age of 13. I want you to really explain this because some people have kiddos that fit the height and the weight recommendation to be able to sit in the front seat before 13 years
right.
old.
But we have to remember that we're talking about the difference of still a child's body and bone density and size versus an adult. And there is a big difference when it comes to just weight if it's just because they're tall and lean and they fit. And the seats were really designed for that adult body, and we want them to be at least 13 when really they've started to go through puberty and they've put on body bone density, they've put on weight. And if you really watch many kids in the front seats, they cheat. They put the seatbelt behind them because it doesn't fit. It's up too tight mm-hmm. on their necks. They sit on something. So you know when you're even watching, they don't fit in that seatbelt the way it should. And we're really, that airbag is so powerful that we want to make sure that that seatbelt holds them in the right place and that the airbag also does not damage. So I know you almost get to drive before you get in the front seat, but it really is the best, and it's in the rear until they're 13.
So even if they fit that height and even that weight recommendation, it comes down to their bones.
To
really.
Their bones, their structure, and the research is just really saying 13 is probably the best age. You're going to laugh, but I fought with my mother. My mother was over 13, but 5 feet, 95 pounds, I made her ride in the back seat with me all the time. So it doesn't end when you just...
When you're a grown-up,
you still are trying to do the best thing for safety.
And we're going to put those recommendations on our website as well as some free car seat safety checks for folks
right.
as well.
Saturday.
Yeah, there's one coming up this Saturday. So I want to thank my guest, Sherry Iverson, St. Luke's Children's Hospital Director of Advocacy and Community Education. Up next, a conversation with the world-famous architect tapped to design the new Boise Library. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.